The Wall Street Journal reports today that the data firm Cambridge Analytica has told employees that it is liquidating and they should vacate the office. The company, which was at the heart of Facebook's data scandal, announced earlier this month that it couldn't find any buyers and would cease operations. But Cambridge Analytica isn't the only firm of its kind. Have you ever heard of Palantir? It was founded by billionaire Peter Thiel, who also co-founded PayPal, and its clients include the CIA, NSA, JPMorgan Chase, Merck, and others. Peter Waldman has been looking into Palantir. He's an investigative reporter at Bloomberg News. Peter, welcome.
Thank you.
So, first of all, what is Palantir? What makes it different than other data firms?
So Palantir is a Silicon Valley startup. It began in 2004. It does heavy-duty data mining. Basically, it connects far-flung data points from different places, different databases, depending on what its client needs or wants. And I guess what makes it different is that it can really see things and connect things and spin out analytical, we call them spidergrams, graphical depictions of how data points connect. So it can connect you with your car, with your cell phone, with your aunt, with your friend, with a crime you may have committed, with a bank balance you may have. It's quite good at bringing far-flung things together.
And it actually gets its name from Lord of the Rings, in which a Palantir is a seeing stone. Give us an example of one of the uses of Palantir.
So I think probably the most controversial use is in law enforcement, and specifically at the local level with police and sheriff's offices, or let's say the Los Angeles Police Department, for example, which uses Palantir quite intensively. They use it for something called their laser program, which is a pre-crime analytic program that essentially tries to identify people likely to commit crimes. These are chronic offenders, and Palantir is very good at stitching together databases that spin out a list of these people for patrolmen on the streets to watch and pull over for bad tail lights or jaywalking and keep an eye on them. And it can get a little spooky from there.
Well, and as you point out in your story, sometimes it doesn't always get it right. Some people are targeted again and again by police.
Right. I mean, there's no algorithm for redemption, really. I mean, in this case, you can't go to Palantir or the police department and say the data is just plain wrong. You have the wrong person. So we write about a person in East Los Angeles who did grow up and spends a lot of time with members of a gang there, but swears that he is not a gang member himself. But he's been continuously harassed because he was in a car one time when the cops pulled up. He was sitting with a friend who was in a gang, and the cops came back and shot a photograph of this young man sitting in the car and literally said to him, "Welcome to the gang database." Mm. And since then, he's been harassed, pulled over, stopped, thrown up against a wall multiple times. Cops will take notes, ask questions, see what he'll tell them about neighbors and other people around there, and he protests he's not part of the gang, but it doesn't seem to register.
But Palantir, in the case of the LAPD, is only aggregating data that the LAPD already has access to. It's not actually collecting data. So what's the argument against that?
Well, it provides a certain level of omniscience. I mean, as the name or the Lord of the Rings reference indicates, what it does, it's an analytical platform, and it stitches these things together in ways that human analysts wouldn't and couldn't do. And I'll give you an example, and you can tell me if you find it creepy or not. But there was a woman associated with several members of in a community in Los Angeles that the police was watching. And we think through license plate readers, but possibly other means. The police, in their inputting of data into the various systems, essentially was able to figure out using Palantir that three different members of this group of people they were watching had parked at her house overnight on different nights in a small space of time. And they deduced from that this woman was sleeping with three people they were watching at the same time, or in the same period of time, I should say. And That's a piece of information that this woman, by the way, who is not suspected of any crime or any even gang membership, you know, a piece of information that the state probably shouldn't have. At least some people wouldn't think it should have, or the cops in this case. It allows them to muscle her and say, hey, we know you're sleeping with these three guys. You got to become an informant, or we're going to put a listening device in your house when they come over, or you're going to ask them these questions. So it just provides for connections that maybe people shouldn't have. And there have been some Supreme Court cases with other recent technologies that really bear out this fear.
Put me down as a yes for creepy. So let's go back to the beginning of this company, how it got started. It involved the war against terror after 9/11.
So Peter Thiel is the founder. He is a well-known venture investor out here, got his start as a founder of PayPal and a board member and investor in Facebook. He founded the company in 2004, essentially taking algorithmic conventions and software from that they used at PayPal to try to predict who would be a fraudulent a user of PayPal, and apply it to the security realm. And they took this platform to the three-letter agencies in Washington, CIA, NSA, FBI, et cetera, and said, hey, we have a great tool for figuring out who may be a terrorist or taking it overseas to Iraq and Afghanistan, where it was widely used. And commandos and others who we interviewed commended it, said it was far better than anything the Pentagon or CIA had previously. It, you know, it was used to sort of track, let's say, where high danger points might be on a road for incendiary devices, or it was used in the hunt for Osama bin Laden.
Isn't it strange, though, that Peter Thiel, who is known for his libertarian views, would be behind this company that has some real privacy issues?
So there does seem to be a paradox there. I will say that Thiel has said in the past he believed that Palantir and the tools for surveillance that Palantir is, he believed that it was much better than, you know, rounding people up and excluding Muslims at the borders and all the other kinds of things that others have recommended.
Why has Palantir, as you point out, never made a profit?
So that has to do with the business structure and possibly with the person who runs it. It's not run by an individual with a great deal of business background. His name is Alex Karp. He was a law school classmate of Thiel's at Stanford and, by the way, a kind of self-described neo-Marxist. There's some wonderful tapes of him on the internet just deriding and ridiculing Donald Trump, whereas Thiel himself was a big supporter and put in something like $1 million into the Trump campaign. Anyway, Karp has run the company as the CEO, and it's basically, we call it a high-touch consulting-like company. It's not a run-of-the-mill software maker, which once you write the code, you can sell this thing, reproduce it without any cost at all, and if people will pay for it, you can make a lot of money. Whereas Palantir deploys these engineers almost like consultants into the offices of their clients to set all this up, and it's a very expensive model. It's much closer to a McKinsey than it is to an Oracle.
So do you see it lasting and expanding, or do you think it's going to go the way of Cambridge Analytica?
Well, it has a lot of competition in this space from the Oracles and IBMs in the world and others and smaller companies that are doing the same kind of data mining and integrative analytics for less money. So I think it faces a rough road. That said, in 2015, when they did a capital raising effort, it was valued at $20 billion. It's since been revalued at lower amounts by various shareholders, but the government contracts alone are very lucrative, and it's doing its best to get into drug development with Merck and all kinds of other corporate ventures that may or may not turn out well for the employees of those companies.
I bet that many of our listeners have never heard of Palantir before. Why do you think that is?
Well, it tries to fly under the radar. I mean, let's face it, it is a three-letter contractor. So, you know, the NSA and CIA and others are not thrilled to get publicity. I think in terms of law enforcement, there is a very conscious effort to keep it out of court. So what I mean by that is when defense lawyers are receiving the discovery and all the evidence that prosecutors have on their clients, they don't cite Palantir as a source or a tool used in an investigation very consciously because, as I alluded to before, the Supreme Court has had serious issues with technologies like Palantir. So I think that it very purposefully does its best to stay out of court cases and criminal prosecutions, even though police and sheriffs and others are using it quite widely.
That's Peter Waldman, an investigative reporter at Bloomberg News. We'll link you to his story on Palantir at our website, hereandnow.org. Peter, thank you.
Thank you.